They're coming to former President Trump's defense. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. The Trump legal team takes center stage at the impeachment trial to rebut House Democrats. Fox's Griff Jenkins.
Trump's lawyers met last night with GOP Senators Graham, Cruz, and Lee to discuss strategy. As Cruz says, the Democrats have failed to prove their case and exposed their own hypocrisy. Then there's the math of an acquittal. 17 Republicans will have to cross the aisle to convict, and there's no indication that many have been swayed.
At the end of 2 days of prosecution, Congressman Jamie Raskin warned senators if they acquit Trump,
then any president could incite and provoke insurrectionary violence against us again.
Another accused Capitol rioter has a court appearance today in Virginia. Eduardo Gonzalez was dubbed online the doobie smoker, seen toking on a joint during the attack wearing American flag pants. Gonzalez is facing violent entry and other charges. Prosecutors say he live-streamed a video saying he was there to take our country back. Some Republicans in New York are calling for Governor Cuomo's impeachment, claiming there is now proof he covered up nursing home deaths.
The New York Post reported that Secretary to the Governor, Melissa DeRosa, allegedly admitted that the Cuomo administration has been withholding the true number of deaths in nursing homes due to COVID-19 in a video conference call with state Democratic leaders, telling them, quote, "We froze out of fear the true numbers would be used against the administration by federal prosecutors."
Fox's Laura Engel today. Andrew Cuomo, the governor, is meeting with other governors and mayors with President Biden about the early nearly $2 trillion COVID financial relief plan still being drafted in Congress. This is the president also makes another change in Trump policy, making plans to allow tens of thousands of migrants who've been ordered to wait in Mexico to have asylum claims heard here as they enter the U.S.
But the White House is saying, listen, there's no open border here. They're doing all they can to make sure that they're handling those on the border humanely.
Fox's Kevin Cork. America's listening to Fox News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/news. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up Your Pickup Truck Store is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners, with nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in this brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group. Got my partner, George Davis, also known as Big George. Good morning, George.
Big George in the house. Good morning. How are you doing, Tom? I see you're wearing your Valentine color. That's awfully nice of you.
Yeah, my wife dressed me today.
Yeah.
So. I actually had a different shirt out. She's like, no, you're going to wear this.
She did. That looks good, man. You look good in pink. What do you think, Russ? Looking pretty sharp.
I'm just jealous he's got a wife.
Hey, we got a three-day weekend coming up, and this weather is pretty dang nice. So I think everyone needs to go outside and do something fun, or camp, golf.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm Telegraph Pass. Speaking of that, George, didn't you say that was something you're going to try to do?
That's one of my goals, absolutely, is climb Telegraph Pass with you, especially at 4 a.m. where I stumble over something and fall down the mountain. So, that's pretty it's pretty neat, Tom, that it actually falls on, what, Sunday?
Yeah,
3-day weekend, so
a lot
of people should be out and about.
That's right. Monday's President's Day?
No. Monday's President's Day.
Yeah.
And then Sunday is Valentine's
Day. Well, that's going to still include Trump, because he can't be convicted before then.
Yeah.
his President's Day is for all presidents. Absolutely.
Yeah. I guess unless you get thrown out of office.
It would be interesting to see if Valentine's falls on a Sunday. My guess is people will buy less, Valentine gifts. I think a lot of them are last-minute kind of things, and I think, maybe they'll buy more if they have Saturday to go shopping.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Have you bought something yet?
No. I can tell by the look.
I make something, George. I'm an arts and crafts guy.
Yeah, there you go. Plus, you want those flowers to be fresh. Man. I mean, you can't buy them 3-4 days ahead. So. Got to get flowers from your spouse. But, yeah, you drive around town, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of traffic and a lot of these baseball tournaments for the kids. They're not playing in California, so... No, those hotels are full. The restaurants
Pacific,
are full.
Baseball
field is, pretty much packed. So that's been good for us. Did you read this article on the Yuma County Economic Outlook?
I glanced at it, George, but go ahead.
In the Yuma Sun. Did you read that, Russ? No?
I didn't believe it.
I thought it was pretty interesting. I mean...
It's fake news, George.
Yeah, George.
Fake news.
Crystal ball stuff. I wasn't into it this morning.
Well, no, but the revenue, because of the pandemic, they thought it was going to be a rough year, but revenue was up almost 15%. Because they now do sales tax on internet as of three or four years ago. They made that. You didn't used to have to pay sales tax when you got stuff on the internet.
Well,
now you do. So that made up for people going out and spending.
I think we also got a lot of people in from California because they were closed down more than we were. So our hotels and our the river and all that got a lot more traffic than they had.
Well, our hotel and leisure was down 5% compared to the state, 20-something. So, all right, Tom, so what do you think where most of the money went? What type of items or merchandise or things were bought?
I would have to say... Food.
Nice. Food's up there. Good job, Tom. But like recreational vehicles, camping stuff, guns
fishing
and ammunition,
rods.
Fishing rods.
Anything outdoors.
RVs, yeah. Yeah, anything outdoors. Yeah. They really had a good year. So.
They really did.
Yeah, but yeah, food's a big one too. So, but I was really amazed at the houses. I mean, there's 100 and, let me see what I had on here. It was pretty crazy, but...
How many houses were sold, you mean? Or what?
Yeah, how many they got. Sorry, I'm opening my paper. But it was like 299 actual that they did the housing permits for this year.
Oh, to build new houses?
To build new houses, 299 compared to about 125, 120-something. I'll look it up for sure, 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. And then the average house price went up 13% last year.
That's really good.
And Zillow's expecting 10% this next year. That's 23% in 2 years. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
The next question is, when's the housing market bubble going to come?
Yeah, that is the next question.
Hey, real quick about housing, I got a stat off my little stat sheet that I like to go to. It says basically that there was 1.07 million existing homes for sale at the end of this of December 31st of 2020,
mm-hmm.
About a million houses on the market. 2 years ago in 2018, December of 2018, there was 1.5 million houses on the market. And as of 10 years ago, there was 3 million houses on the market. So the housing market has dropped by, I mean, the number of houses on the market have dropped by two-thirds over the last 10 years.
Oh, okay.
It goes back to supply and demand, George.
Yep, yep, just like you were saying about the energy and stuff going up. So.
Hey, you know the big thing about the economy, and everyone keeps asking, you know, where is it going with the new administration? You know, that's kind of the unknown. But I think the big driving point here is when are we going to get herd immunity on COVID? And I think the quicker we get to that, I think we're going to have things open up more. Anyways, I got an article. It's from First Trust, which is an economic research report. And they think that we're approaching close to 70% immunity.
70?
70.
Oh,
they,
wow.
They think the antibodies, they think roughly 40% of the population has the antibodies.
That many. Okay.
And I could see where they got their stats from. But then they say with the vaccinations, I think they're going to do 100 million in the next, you know, 100 days or whatever.
Right now they're at 10%. 10% of our population in the United States has had the first shot at least.
Yeah.
So that's only 50, but that's pretty good, yeah. If only 70 is the reach.
So they think by mid-April is what this thing's predicting. They think that they can hit that threshold.
That's doable.
And that means by May, June, we should be back hopefully to...
Because we're doing about 1.5 million a day in shots. 1.5 million people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll get up to that 70%.
Yeah.
I would guess by April, that'd be fine.
You know, one of the things I think the local city government has to do is kind of have a plan on the reopening, because I think I went to actually one a meeting last night for the downtown people with the city, and they don't really, as of this point, everything's off the table for this year. And I think if we can get herd immunity by May or June, they need to start revamping some of these concerts and some of these fundraisers.
I question exactly how or when. You know, Biden has already said the border is no longer an emergency. They took the emergency off the border.
He just brought in 25,000 immigrants this morning.
Yeah, so there's no longer emergency.
When it's all tested.
But we haven't been taking emergency off of any states.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
I think I'd be quick to have a plan to pull the trigger to say, okay, we're okay now.
Yeah.
Let's get things moving. Because, I mean, I talked to a downtown vendor on Main Street, and, you know, those little block parties and little things they have is a lot. But
they
haven't had any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
They've been doing it over at the mall. Did you know that?
Yeah, I saw that.
They've been doing the farmer's market at the mall. They used to do downtown.
Yeah.
And now they're doing it at the mall.
Really?
But yeah. I think there's always a block party or something downtown, you know, every month.
Used to be.
Yeah, used to be.
Yep.
But then you ask them, say, hey, what's the plan? And they don't have a plan. They're like, well, 2021 is off the table.
It's almost tough to talk about because so many people are panicked about getting sick. They don't want. A lot of people don't want the conversation. But I agree with you, Tom. We should be having it.
Yeah, because when the time comes, I think they can open it up. But,
well,
you know, give people a choice. You want to go downtown? You go downtown. You want to stay home? You stay home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at least plan for it. And plus, then it's going to be summer. So if it really is middle April, you know, May, you want to have some events in kind of in the pipeline there so you could do some things before, you know, July, August hit.
Yeah.
So, but no, I agree. That's interesting.
Well, then, you know, so anyways, COVID needs to go away or get hit her immunity. I think they're not saying when that happens, they think the GDP number could be, they're saying about 5%, which is a strong number.
Mm.
And I think people are going to go out and, you know, spend money on vacation and maybe travels cross state to see family and things that they missed out on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most all the clients I've been talking to, Tom, and friends already have plans. You know, they have plans already for, you know, June, July of this year, and hopefully it's going to work out that they have that in place. I saw an article that said there was already 1 million people in Arizona that had the at least one shot. That sounds like quite a bit. I don't know how many people are in Arizona, just the
7.5
state.
7.5 million.
Okay, so 1 million have already had
so about 15%
the first shot.
Big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
How about you, Russ? You have your first shot yet?
I'm way too young.
aren't you considered a first responder, being a real
guy? I'm not even a first responder.
You're way too young and too healthy.
True.
And he has the antibody, so.
That's right.
I've already had it, so I'm not in a big rush.
But you were one of the first ones to get it, remember, way back.
January, February?
Yeah, but what if the antibodies last that long? They don't know, still know yet.
Well, even if they don't last that long, George, what they're saying is your body still has the memory to spool it back up again. So you still have the building blocks of it. It's not,
right, it's not novel anymore. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Kind of like if you're in a battle and then you repeat the same battle, you're probably not going to make the same mistake.
Yeah, your body's supposed to react, as long as I'm not drinking there. Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea. As long as I'm not Bruce Springsteen.
What else you got on there, Tom? I know you like those.
Well, so the other shoe that's going to drop, and we're not quite sure when, but I would keep a close eye on it, is basically inflation. And the earnings last year, the earnings for private sector people went up more than inflation. They went up like 2.5%, which means people made more money last year, private sector. The public sector only went up the public sector went up about 1.8. But anyways, when you start seeing a sign of people's wages going up, that's also another sign of inflation. So that's probably going to be something that's we're going to talk about for the next 1 to 5 years. The question would be how quick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've been watching, but rates have been going up in the bond market. Mortgages and that are still relatively low. I mean, by all means, jump on them. But this thing's going to eventually, I think, we're going to have inflation issues.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with inflation issues, George?
As far as what? Investments? Or as far as...
Just waking up in the morning.
Personally. Waking up in the morning with inflation.
Yeah, investment-wise, what would be what's usually a good place to put money?
Pepto-Bismol.
Well, if you're looking at the bond market, TIPS, of course, Treasury Inflation-Protected Bonds. If you're looking at equities, then you want more energy and commodities-related, like products. Things that'll go up with inflation.
Okay. We're going to take a break here and critique that when we get back.
Awesome.
This is 5:60 a.m.
To enjoy a longer productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Welcome back to Yuma, AM 560 KBLU. This is Money Talk. Happy Friday out there. 3-day weekend for some people, and Valentine's coming up. this Sunday. Don't forget your significant other, sweetheart.
She'll be in big trouble. What am I going to get her, George? I mean, what do you recommend, buddy? What do, you know, my pillow?
Well,
you gotta go outside the box this year, George.
Come on, George, what are we buying, George?
You know, I had a client in yesterday, and she had these really pretty gold bracelets.
You like those?
Oh, they're beautiful. And I thought, what the heck? And so I asked her what the site was, but I left it at work.
Wow.
Was it Tiffany's?
No, it wasn't Tiffany's. It was a different one. I'm trying to think of it. It was a strange spelling.
You think jewelry works for you?
Jewelry definitely works for me.
Flowers?
Flowers work. Okay. Flowers always work. The chocolate's not so much.
Yeah, because
I don't really need it. My wife doesn't.
Yeah, you get a lot of those commercials about, you know, underwear. Negligees and stuff.
Nah, I tried that one year. It didn't work out. Not whether it was the pattern or the size. It was just ugly.
Yeah. George told me he was going to the thrift store looking for the stuffed teddy bears.
The stuffed teddy bears are nice. You can do those.
We got too many of that stuff laying around.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Don't do it.
But I mean, like, if you go out, like Tom was saying, go get something to eat, or because you can always go to the movie now.
But and that's always last minute. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But something outside.
I don't know if you know this.
Get a little picnic by the river.
George lives in town now. He used to live out Dome Valley, but he moved into town.
Really?
Yeah.
You walk to work?
I could almost, pretty close.
So.
I do take my dogs and my son for walks, and we walk over here towards our office quite a bit. We cruise through the cemetery and check stuff out.
Yeah, there's always neat things going over there, like feral cats, man.
Yeah, there's. So. They got the big tractor now. They're redoing their whole parking lot. They're back there. So
let's talk about interest rates, because if interest rates start to go up, which causes or is inflation. So when interest rates go up, the price of bonds go down. So as long as it's a steady increase and not too soon, the bond market should stay relatively okay. But if rates go up too quickly, the price of bonds drop, you might see a year or two where bonds become stagnant, whether either zero return or even maybe a negative two. So the question out there would be, if you think inflation is going to go up, is how to position your portfolio. And you touched on a couple, so I give you credit there, George.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
You want to repeat what you said, and then I'll add to it?
Well, for inflation, I also have something to add about your bonds that may steal your thunder. So I know that you're talking about the bonds, and typically what kind of bonds, Tom? Well, if rates go up, you say bonds will come down. But what about things like treasury inflation-protected ones, preferreds, floating rates, because there are certain bonds out there that will do well in inflationary environments.
Well, so the biggest thing you want to do is limit your maturity dates.
Okay.
Anything far out on the maturity date, like 10 years plus, will get hit pretty hard. I remember when I started the business at Dean Witter, 25 years ago, a snowbird came in and bought a 30-year treasury, and, sounds pretty safe, 30-year treasury.
Mm-hmm. What was the rate back then, you remember?
I don't remember, but interest rates went up, and he was down almost 40% on his 30-year treasury.
Oh, geez.
You didn't think that was possible.
Yeah, well, that was an eye-opener for me, because I thought, So if rates go up, price of the bonds go down.
Especially with longer maturity.
If he held it for maturity, he would get his principal back, so you got to hold it. Yeah. So basically, shorten your maturity, go down to, 1 to 3 year maturity. We'll go down to, they call them tips, which means they go up when the inflation goes up. So definitely want to do that on your bond things.
Mm-hmm.
But on the equity side, historically, when there's inflation, the equity market does okay. I mean, it's not a negative. If there's hyperinflation, then the equity market can have a big negative. But we're pretty far away from hyperinflation, so I don't see that happening. But there is certain areas inside the equity market that usually do better. And you mentioned energy. You mentioned commodities. They hold up better. Usually things that pay dividends hold up better because people are looking for return, and they're not getting it from the banks. They're looking for other sources of income, and usually those stocks that pay higher dividends hold up.
You mentioned hard assets, too, during break. Is that... Like,
so a hard asset would be real estate, would be
any type of metal that you can put in your pocket. Even maybe, tools or car parts or something that would go up over time, you know, sure. Something like that.
Best in something.
I mean, something you can touch, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyways, there's a little play there. It's coming. No one knows how soon, but mm-hmm. watch out for inflation. And you had something about inflation that you were going to, you didn't want to take my thunder away? Go ahead, George.
No, I was kind of interested because you're talking about the inflation now, but I was interested in the first quarter, Tom, because right now, indices are, you see that they're, the Dow is at a record high and the S&P and the NASDAQ. And I found this stat that over the last 30 years, the S&P has gained an average of 1.65% during the first quarter. And that's only about 15% of the return per year. So if you look back over 30 years, the S&P average is 10.7%, and the first quarter is the worst quarter of the four. And it only constitutes about 15% of the total return for the year. So kind of interesting there. A lot of people are asking, what's next, and we're at the record highs. But typically the first quarter does not prove to be one of the best. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
I think after an election, too, the first one or two quarters usually is unsettling historically, just because they're trying to figure out the direction of where the, mm-hmm. it's kind of a build-up to the election. So historically, in election years, the markets have done okay if you look at all the election years. But the first year in office is usually not so good, or it doesn't go up as much.
Mm-hmm. Well, during Trump's presidency, during the 4 years, the S&P 500 gained 83%, an average of 16.4% a year.
So that wasn't enough to get him reelected. It should have been higher.
I guess not.
100%. But you got to remember, if Americans are making more money, that's a good thing. They can spend it. They can only spend it if they can go out and spend it. You can buy online, but that at some point becomes probably boring. So the other thing you got to remember is what money is being taken out of their pocket. And, they're talking about different taxes. I know they're talking about raising the corporate tax. So when that happens, that passes on to the employees sometimes as far as maybe not raises and that aren't happening as quickly. And then they also talk about maybe increasing the tax rate from the Trump tax rate, which might affect, upper to middle class. So start taking some of that money back the other way. And also talking about a lot of these states and even the federals is talking about increasing the tax rate on gas. So, good things happen, but you start taking it back out of their pocket, and again, the American consumer doesn't spend as much.
Mm-hmm.
75% of the GDP number is based on Americans going out buying stuff. So that's the goal, keep everybody within money so they can go spend it, and economy keeps going.
Yeah. And during the pandemic or during 2020, the savings rate, there were a couple months there that were in the 30s. So people, like you were saying, going to get out and do some spending. And this one, Tom, 37% of U.S. homeowners have no outstanding debt on their primary residence, including no mortgage debt or any debt of any kind. 37%.
Wow.
That's pretty high, yeah.
I know you're not one of them, George, but
well, he's very young.
Thanks, Thomas, because I don't own a home. That helps things out. So,
and you sold your
home,
so now you're sitting on a big pile of money.
Yeah, it's going to be change soon.
You need to get your wife a really, really good Valentine's present, George.
Yeah.
So you're sitting on that money.
Just keep living in an honest house and sharing the one bathroom. That's my Valentine's dream.
And we're going to take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808-99, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258. 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113. Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis, Yuma Investment Group. Good morning, Yuma.
Morning, Yuma. Hey, Russ, don't you have any, like, love songs?
Nope.
Okay. I don't want to Tom's favorite channels
Rod Stewart.
Yeah, no, I thought one of your favorite channels was the Love Channel or something. Yeah,
XM. I love that station.
Awesome. There's some good stuff on there.
So the IRS has, they have a scale on when they use for metrics and how long people live, and they actually increase that metric. So now that people are living longer, the RMDs, which are the required minimum distributions that people have to pull out after they hit age, it was 70.5, now it's age 72, that changed. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it's going to be less because the formula, people are now living longer. So if you take an RMD, you might see that it's less than what it usually
is. It's 72, right? Everyone has it stuck in their head that it's 72.5. Yeah. Keep telling me, I'm like, no, it's 72.
Yeah, 72. So anyways, there's some stats on people passing away last year. So they said an estimated 3.2 million Americans died in 2020.
How many?
3.2 million.
Oh, okay.
This is from the Center of Disease Control. But basically, in 2019, there was 2.85 that have passed away. So basically, that's about a 10% increase in deaths.
So that's about...
What that's from, George?
350,000.
Yeah. About a 10% increase.
Yeah, it's got to be from the COVID. Am I wrong?
Bingo.
Set up there.
Wait, what? I'm sure it is, but so anyways, people are living longer.
Right.
Maybe
like
not for
mil.
2020, but in general,
mm-hmm.
plan for longer retirement because that's saying like a newborn right now out of the hospital, they think they can live to be mid 90s, maybe 100. Because that's saying the technology and that's gonna catch things before they actually get cancer or get diabetic mm-hmm. or so. Anyways.
Yeah, the e-money that we use, the financial planning software, projects out to 90. So,
yeah.
Bumping that up a little.
Yep. Hey, so one of the things we always tell people to do, I mean, mostly, is to convert. Try to get all your money tax-free on the way out when you retire, so you don't have to pay any tax on any of the account. And that can be done through a Roth 401k, and it can also be done just through a Roth IRA. So a lot of times, we have a $27 trillion deficit, and we think this year they think they're going to add another be over another $2 trillion on the budget. So when it's all said and done, we're going to have close to a $30 trillion deficit. And the big question is, where are taxes going to go? And if you're a realist, in the next 5, 10, 15, 25 years, good safe to say taxes could go up. So if that's the case, if you put money into a Roth 401k, Roth IRA, or if you can convert money from an IRA to Roth, it might be beneficial to do so if taxes are higher in the future.
Now sometimes it's beneficial, too, like early in the year, Tom, to do a Roth conversion. You can, you're going to owe money. You're going to owe tax on the conversion, but you have 12, 13 months to save up for it,
yeah,
to pay out of pocket.
So the other thing you got to remember about when how money compounds, say you have $1 and you invest it and you get a 7% return, that money should double in about 10 years. So yeah, that'd be $2, and then another 10 years, it'd be $4. So in 20 years, you could have $4 on the end tax-free, or you could have $4 on the end that you're going to be taxed on.
Mm-hmm.
So especially for younger people, the longer you're invested, the Roth area works real well. Now, there's some cases when it's not beneficial to do a Roth. There's 8 reasons why you might not want to do this, and the first one is...
You mean a Roth conversion?
A Roth conversion, yeah.
Yeah, not a Roth, okay.
Yeah, moving money from an IRA to Roth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you do that, some people tell us, yeah, I want to move money to my IRA money to the Roth, because I read up on it, makes sense, it's tax-free coming out. But the little unknown is when you convert, it becomes taxable. And a lot of people don't catch that. So the reality is, once you tell them it's taxable, they don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about Roth conversions is you can do it over time. So you can drag money over, you know, maybe 10% a year for 10 years or something like that. So it's very, very, you can do as much or as little as you want.
So in simple terms, if I converted $10,000, that would be $10,000 added to my income for this year.
Correct.
Okay.
And if you couldn't afford that tax rise, you can do maybe $2,000, and the next year you do $2,000 and
mm-hmm.
slowly drag and get everything put over.
Okay.
But if your tax bracket is going to be lower in the future, then you might not want to do that. And, you know, if you can do enough planning to see where your tax bracket might be. Well, the other factor is what state you're going to live in. Because, you know, say you lived up in New Jersey or New York, when you take the state tax, the city tax, it's about 13%. Where if you move down to Florida or somewhere that's more tax friendly, you might not, your tax bracket, you might be paying less.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are going to pay less taxes, converting might not help you.
That might apply in the West here. It might apply to, like, California. I think they're at, what, 10, 11, Russ? State income?
I think it's 10.
Depends on where you're at, too. Yeah. I mean,
it depends on if you're in San Fran.
Some of the counties and cities are really high.
Okay.
Yeah, you get crazy. New York, New Jersey, California, and under the Trump tax plan, they really got hurt because you couldn't, after a certain amount, you couldn't deduct anymore from your federal tax, which you paid local tax.
Hmm.
So the other reason why you might not consider converting is if you can't pay the tax. So they prefer that you convert the full amount to the Roth IRA from the IRA and pay the tax on the difference out of your pocket. And if you can't pay the tax, the IRS won't like it. But some people want to convert, but they want to use the money they convert to pay the tax, which means you put less into the IRA account. And it becomes taxable, and there's a 10% penalty by doing that. So pay the tax or maybe consider
that. I think that's a good point, Tom, because if you're under 59 and a half and you do a conversion and you withhold, then it goes as a distribution, and that's where you pay the 10% penalty on top of your tax.
Yeah.
So 59 and a half is the magic age on that.
And then the other thing about these accounts, 401k Roths or Roths, is that compounding interest and time is on your side. So if you're not going to keep them in there for a long time, then they're not as beneficial. So the longer you can keep it in, the better. If you open up a Roth IRA account, there is a 5-year rule where they will you have to keep it in for at least 5 years or it becomes 10% penalty and taxable. So that means even if you set up a Roth account when you're 58 years old, and then you turn 59 and a half, you think, oh, I could touch that money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 5-year plan. So sometimes I tell people, just get a Roth set up because they just care the date you open it. So you can put a dollar in a Roth and then wait 5 years and then put a lot of money
mm-hmm.
in and you can pull it out right away.
And so actually, the clock actually starts January 1. So if you open it in October, your time would actually start that year of January 1 on the 5-year rule.
Yep. So if you're going to retire, there's some strategies you might want to do to get a Roth open so that you can have quicker access to the money than be waiting for the five-year rule.
Well, let's talk about the conversion, though, Tom, because it's kind of important to know that every time you do a conversion, that part that you're converting, let's say you converted $10,000 this year, that starts a five-year clock just on the conversion. Your Roth that you started 10 years ago is fine. That's the start time. But if you do a conversion, then that'll start just on that converted part, a new five-year clock.
Yep. Every conversion is a five-year clock.
Yeah.
Right.
So, contributions are different. People get it confused, contribution versus conversion. Contribution you can do anytime. Nothing to do with the five-year clock. Depends on when you open the Roth. But you're right, the conversion is a new five-year rule.
And you can convert as much as you want. I mean, you know, there's no limit, so everyone...
Mm-hmm.
So if you plan on leaving your IRA money to a charity, then there's no reason to convert to the Roth because the charities don't pay tax anyways. So don't do that. That's another reason not to convert to a Roth.
And then you don't have to, if you contribute stock or some money from your IRA to a charity, then you don't have to pay any taxes too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So, okay.
So the rule is still in effect where if you're over, I believe it's still 70 and a half, not 72, that you can donate up to $100,000 a year out of your retirement money. It has to go directly to a nonprofit, so don't touch the money. And then that basically is tax-free to them, and it doesn't hit your taxes.
Okay.
So, you know, I had some clients that you ask, when you're doing financial planning, you ask how much do they donate to nonprofits. And some people are like, oh, you know, last year I gave $15,000 to my church and whatever areas they like, and then you can say, okay, well, why don't we give that from your IRA account because that's not taxable and you're giving after-tax money.
Right.
And your kids are going to want you to, you know, you're better off inheriting after-tax money than an IRA account because the kids are going to get taxed eventually when they pull it out. So there's some planning you can do there to give money through IRAs rather than to give out of your pocket like most people think.
And they changed that stretch IRA rule for 10 years now as opposed to lifetime.
Yeah, so that makes it worse because, and I don't know why they did this. This kind of snuck up on everybody by the time it was done is when I read it. But the old days, you could, if you inherited an IRA not from your spouse, you can stretch it out on a table by the IRS, which is a really long table. Everyone's living to be 95. So like the first year, you'd have to pull out, say you were 40, and you had 50 years left, you'd have to pull out 1/50th the first year and then 2/50th. So the money can sit there for a long time for the people who inherited it. Mm-hmm. And that all went away. So now that money has to be withdrawn within 10 years once someone inherits the money. Now, there are some little rules that it can stay the old way. One of the rules is if the person who inherited the money is within a 10 years of age of each other, then it can also be... it's stretched out.
Mm-hmm.
But most people that leave money to people, it's the parents leaving it to the kids.
Right.
There's not a 10-year age stretch. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
And then if you think your beneficiary is going to be in a lower tax bracket, too, then it might not make a lot of sense to convert to a Roth IRA. Because ultimately, if you're going to leave it to your kids and they are in a lower tax bracket than yourself, then that's another reason maybe not to. So there's a lot of things go into this. I know there's some general rules. You can say converting money from an IRA to Roth is a good thing, and that in general is pretty good. Just the fine points that you got to watch out for, or might not necessarily be right for you.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it's a good idea.
Yeah, we think that Roth is one of the best kept secrets out there. I'm glad you brought that up in the 401k, Tom, because some people might be aware that there is a 401k there's a Roth component in your 401k. So take a look at that. Most of the time, the employer's match goes into the 401k part, but then there's a Roth part you can contribute to that.
If you don't have a Roth 401k, I would bring it up to your employer because you should have one. I mean, some of the old 401ks still are stuck where they don't have one,
yep.
But they can do an amendment to the plan document and get one in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal, especially for the younger employees.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
I'm too sexy for my shirt, so sexy it hurts. And I am
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258. 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113. Arizona license number 0904081.
Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, George Davis, Yuma Investment Group, in here talking. We are getting in the groove of the Valentine spirit with a little beat starting out. Thanks, Russ.
Yeah. That's really good.
I don't need Valentine's spirit. My wife is singing that to me. Hey, anyway, welcome back, Yuma. Number is 344-5258, 344-KBLU, if you have any questions on our last segment here, Money Talk, time's flying, Tom. Yeah, I did want to do a shout-out to Yuma Investment Group. They did the Yuma's Best. They announced it on the Chamber Thursday morning, and congratulations to all the businesses that, you know, won the Yuma's Best. But Yuma Investment Group, in case you missed it, got the best financial planning firm. So we were real proud of that, and that's a great feather in our cap. And I think some of that's due to one of our advisors, Sean McEwen. He's just working out there, a.k.a. Killer Tom. So that's probably why we got the best financial firm.
Killer.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think one of the advantages we have at our firm is we got about 15 people in our office. So we basically dig deeper and we pull back the onion layers more. And we use e-money software, which is one of the best financial planning tools. And I'm not saying that other people can't do this, but I think if you look at the standard setup from other offices, it's usually one advisor and one assistant. And at some point, I mean, I've worked that life before. You become very, limited on what you can do day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
So we have different specialists. We have a financial planning specialist. We have insurance specialists. The advisors are kind of the quarterbacks that always are coming up with the plan on what the client's doing. But we basically have a lot of resources to dig deeper and basically do a financial plan. Only about 10% of Americans have done a financial plan, like a true financial plan. I asked Russ, since he's in here, are you one of the 10% or are you on the other 90%?
Oh, the 90% that don't plan?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. So don't be like Russ. But anyways, in all sincerity, people put money away, and they have a plan in their head, and they're putting money away. But the bottom line is, will you hit your number? And is it enough money? Is it too little? And two times more than not, people are just shooting from the hip, you know, and they have it in their head, and they have, you know, but if you don't have inflation in your head, which our brains are hard on compounding things, but if you had a 3% inflation, that means in 20 years, your money's going to be cut in half on the buying power. So, you know, even though you think, oh, I have $2 million, $1 million, then you got to factor inflation, factor in taxes, and then that's a real hard number. So anyways, everyone should do a financial plan. The sooner you get one done, I think the better, even if you're straight out of college, because you're going to know what your number is, and then you have the rest of your life to try to figure out how to put that much money away. And then if you're going to retire in the next 1 to 10 years, it's more important to do a plan towards the end also, because you want to also make sure you have enough money to retire on, because you don't want to be one of those guys that retires at 65, then you have to start, you know, looking for some part-time work at 75 or 80, and it happens.
Oh, yeah, it does happen.
I think
and you can do things, figure out things that you can do now, like you're saying, Tom. Maybe you need to work one extra year or two extra years, put a little bit extra money away, you know, over 50, you can put more away into your retirement plan. So there's some ways for you to fix it right now if you're looking at, you know, even 5 years.
Yeah, the less debt you have, the less money you need at retirement. So one of your goals should be to get a lot of your debt down. If you can, pay off your house, pay off some big items. You know, I know everyone's heard about it, but, you know, Dave Ramsey has a course that really eats into, you know, paying yourself first. And it's important to do that. Don't retire with a big lifestyle and a lot of debt, because even if you have a lot of money, it won't go that far because you're spending it out. So.
Yeah. And then also at Yuma Investment Group, we now have 5 advisors. I don't know if everybody knows that. So that's great. We've added Tim Avila and Sean McEwen in the last, 2-3 years, even longer. So 5 advisors and Director of First Impressions, Kayla. She's always... So if you give us a call, she's, you know, someone's going to answer the phone. That's what I like about it. You know, you're going to get a real person talking.
Nice, friendly hello.
Yeah, nice, friendly hello, exactly. So one thing I wanted to touch on, Tom, before the end here, because, of course, it is tax time. And as everybody knows, up until April 15th, you can do an Arizona state tax credit. That's a one-for-one. It's not a reduction or lowering your taxes. It's actually a tax credit. So if you... You know, did $500 in a tax credit, and you owed $500 to the state of Arizona, you would give to a charity or a public school or something instead of it going to the state. So
let me just give an
example.
So
yeah.
Say you make $40,000 a year. Let's just say the Arizona state's 3%. So that means you got to pay about $1,200 a year to the state.
Yep.
Now you might be paying it off your paycheck every paycheck, and it's going to the state. So what you can do, and you have until April 15th to do this for 2020, is you can make a donation to some of the nonprofits that qualify. Basically, the ones that do deal with helping out people, like the Humane Society is not one of them. But anyways, so you stroke a check to the nonprofit. They give you back a letter that says you paid them X. And then when you do your tax return, you file that letter. And then instead of paying the state of Arizona the $1,200, you basically siphon some of that off to pay the nonprofit, but it doesn't cost you any more money because you either have to pay the state or you can siphon some off for the nonprofit. So really, everybody who earns some type of state tax should be doing this. I mean, keep the money local. You know, once it goes into the state tax pool, I'm sure Maricopa gets a lot of that.
Well, especially after, you know, a year like we had, a lot of these qualified charitable organizations and foster cares are really struggling with everything going on with the pandemic. So you mentioned, so you can just Google these, it's actually azdor.gov. They have some good information on these. But Tom, the QCO, which is a qualified charitable organization you're talking about, for example, the Food Bank or Amberley's Place or Crossroads, you can do up to $800 for married and $400 for single. That's the Arizona state tax credit there. And I didn't know about this one. This is for
contribution to a qualifying foster care charitable organization. So there's a different one there. And that one's actually, if you're into the foster care, the $1,000 for married and $500 for singles. So if you go to this site, azdor.gov, you can find all the QCOs and QSCOs.
You could do another one for military. I forgot what the number is. And then you do another one for public and private school.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
You know, there's quite a bit you can...
Public school is 400. Let me see. Yeah, 400 for married and 200 for single. And you can direct that to any public school you want if you have a favorite or your kid goes there. And you can actually direct it to, like my son does...
Chess.
Yeah, chess. You could do it to the chess team or the tennis team.
You can direct it to a certain area of the school to help support it, like the booster club or, you know.
Right. And then, for example, Yuma Catholic or Yuma Lutheran, those are private schools, and those are called certified school tuition organizations. And those you can direct the Arizona State tax credit. It's actually quite a bit higher. It's kind of nice. $1,186 for married and $593 for single. So if you want to give to a private school, you can also do that.
Yeah, and if your kids go to a private school, you can convince some of your friends or relatives to try to do a donation on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of the kids at Yuma Catholic probably wouldn't go if there was had to cover the full tuition, but for these state tax credits, it makes life a little easier.
You can direct it directly to the kids' tuition, right? Just not your own.
Yeah, you can direct it directly towards offset a kid's tuition, yep.
Yeah.
So, I hear a thing about switching your kids over to the private school so you can donate some of that George and...
Yeah, well, that's actually a good thought, so. But no, it really is important for these to, you know, keep this money local if you owe Arizona tax and look into these tax credits. There's another one, Tom, I didn't know about. Health insurance premium tax credit. That's $1,000 a year for... actually $3,000 a year for families and $1,000 for singles. So that goes to small businesses. So look into that. And
that
to help
be a new one, huh?
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it, so it's pretty interesting. It's for small businesses, and it's if you don't have health insurance coverage and you have between 1 and 25 employees.
Hey, another thing is there's something called a corporate tax credit, which isn't on an individual level. But let's just say someone has a business and they make $1 million, and 3% of that goes to the state, so that's $30,000. They could actually donate the $30,000 to some of these programs, especially with the private school. So it can have a huge impact. I mean, so as a business owner, you could also contribute on a much higher level than, and there's no limit on that. I mean, there is a limit of once the funds get used for the state, then it's gone. Uh-huh. But if you do it early in the year, you'll get it. So
okay. And then there's one other one with the universities. It's research and development. So there's a tax credit there if you have a, you know, an alma mater that you want to put money towards.
How much is that, does it say?
That one doesn't say. No, it just goes into, you can go on there and check it out for more, but it doesn't have a certain number. I think it's different. It depends on which university it is. So we're getting towards the end here, Tom, and great show once again, of course. And we got Big Valentine's coming up, so make sure you remember your sweetheart on this Sunday. And everybody have a great weekend, beautiful day. Go out and enjoy, spend some money, keep the economy going. Money Talk, AM560. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Be safe.
Opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.